hints, and I'm going to proceed with reading into the record the fun stuff. I also want to make a note that Commissioner Kaiser has joined us. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. If a commission member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record, and it is subject to rebuttal. Are there any conflicts of interest today or ex parte contacts? Okay. Type 3. For Type 3 reviews, the following procedure is required. 1. Public testimony can only address the applicable approval criteria or other criteria in the comprehensive plan or land use regulations which the person believes apply to the decision. The applicable approval criteria are set forth in the Portland Zoning Code and are more specifically identified in the staff report. The staff will identify the applicable criteria as part of the staff report. 2. Prior to the close of this hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence or testimony. If such a request is made, the commission will either grant a continuance or hold the record open to provide an opportunity to submit additional evidence and an opportunity to respond to that new evidence. 3. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. 4. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to give the commission an opportunity to respond to the issues precludes an action for damages in circuit court order under Oregon Revised Statute 197.796. The commission's decision on this case is final unless appealed to the City Council within 14 days of the decision. If the decision is not appealed, it must be recorded with the Multnomah County Recorder. Specific instructions will be provided with the notice of the commission's action. This hearing is recorded, and all speakers need to sit at the front table and give their name and mailing address before speaking. The following procedures will be used for each case. 1. Staff will show slides of the site and surrounding area and present a report which will include the applicant's proposal, identify the applicable approval criteria, and include information on letters received on the request, findings, and a recommendation on this request. And of course, we've seen this project 3 times, so you can keep it brief and kind of hit the high points of what we haven't already seen. 2, applicant will present their report, and I offer the same to the applicant. We can keep this as short as possible. 3, public testimony will be received in favor of the proposal. If there is any, I'm imposing a 3-minute time limit. 4, public testimony will be received in opposition to the proposal, and again, I will impose a 3-minute time limit. 5, the applicant will then be given an opportunity to rebut the testimony of opponents. 6, public testimony will be closed. 7, if any party requests an opportunity to submit additional evidence, the record will be held open 7 days to allow time to submit additional evidence. The record will be held open an additional 7 days to allow parties to submit evidence responding to the new evidence. 8, after the record is closed to all other parties, the applicant will have an additional 7 days to submit final written arguments without additional evidence. 9, after the record is closed to all parties, commission members will discuss and vote on the request. In the case of a tie vote on any motion, the motion will fail. 10, if the commission's decision amends or overturns the Bureau of Development Services staff report, the adoption of new or revised findings will be required. At the time of its decision, the commission will announce when the revised findings will be considered. No additional testimony will be taken, but interested parties may attend. So, our first case today is LU 13-107395-DZM Block 43. Again, it's our third hearing, continued from May 16th. The applicant is Wade Johns of Alamo Manhattan Properties. The address is 0601 Southwest Abernathy, and our planner is Hillary Adam. Welcome, Hillary.
Hi, thank you. In the interest of saving time, I have not prepared a slideshow presentation. I'll just quickly go through the changes that were made from the last proposal. And these are taken from the applicant, which was also included in the memo. So basically, with regard to the roof hang, the breaks in the roof hang now only occur at the 2 main entrances. Hardy at the balconies was changed to a treated wood. No corten seal is proposed any longer. The concrete belly band was revised to cast stone. Concrete stoops have exposed aggregate. Canopies were reintroduced at the main entrances with the storefront canopies revised to steel and fabric awnings to distinguish that hierarchy. Signage was removed, but it was suggested that future signs would be blade signage and lettering above the canopies or awnings. Awkward angles were removed from the courtyard, and so were scuppers. And the edge of the southwest lane patios now extend to the property line. So since the staff report and the revised drawings were sent out, I asked the applicant to just correct some remaining sort of mistakes on the drawings. And that is included in the set of 14 drawings that Paige passed around. And what is the only difference is on these drawings is that no Corten seal is shown. Only aluminum windows and doors are shown on the street-facing ground floor. Notes were fixed on the elevations to indicate exposed aggregate on the concrete. The ground floor light fixtures are now accurately depicted, and the garage doors are now accurately depicted. Also, since the staff report was sent out, we've had additional news from their neighbors, Riva and the Park. Riva did not want to allow a fifth pathway to the access way. They would only allow four connecting to the residential units. I felt like this was not such a big deal because there was already a parallel sidewalk along the leasing storefront that led to that common stairway. Also, they don't want any changes to the landscaping on their property, but they have agreed to continue to work with Alamo Manhattan just to make sure the landscaping looks good. And if you want, Dana can talk about that further. But since those things came up after the staff report, I did tweak the staff report, and that was also sent around to you. And those minor changes are highlighted in yellow so that they're easy to find. And three additional drawing sheets were also included, and those are also highlighted in the revised staff report that was sent around. Also, I found out today that the stormwater that will naturally fall onto the dog run cannot be emptied into the stormwater sanitary because it needs to be plumbed to a sanitary sewer. So the applicant has agreed to return with a type 2 application for a cover as a condition of approval if you want.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay. Well, first of all, Hillary, thank you for your nimbleness today in getting those revised changes out. I know it's a tight turnaround. Questions of our planner before we move on? And for the record, Commissioner Hansen has just joined us. Okay, please go ahead with your presentation today.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Wade Johns, 4509 Pomona Road, Dallas, Texas. I'm with Alamo Manhattan. Our team is very glad to be here again. We think the project continues to improve. We've made a lot of good adjustments, and I look forward to seeing the presentation from Dave here.
David Henry, station SOY, 14881 Form 550, Dallas, Texas, 75250. I'm very glad to be back with staff recommendation for approval, and I will keep this brief on our time.
Thank you.
All right.
Didn't sound right. Doing dry. So as Hillary mentioned, I just wanted to run through our responses very quickly. Simplify the canopy design at the leasing retail areas to address the hierarchy so that we could add the canopies at the main building entrances, and we've got renderings to show that. Enlarge the patios along Lane Street. Although we didn't, we removed the landscape buffer and extended to a property line, and then we'll have the landscape shown between the stoops. We enhanced the landscape along Lane Street through the stoops and some planters on the rail. We had talked about simplify the exterior material palette and how we addressed that with the wood, the Koryo treated wood. The simplified roof line was, again, a comment to address kind of a material palette, how we're applying the brick and stucco with the roof lines and what our hierarchy at the entrances were. And then the revised courtyard layout that we've been discussing to kind of enhance the building geometry and the courtyard geometry. We want to start with Lane and kind of move to Moody, Abernethy, and Bond so that we can finish on the courtyard layout, and I'll let Chip discuss that. So the former view on northwest on Lane shows the vertical stucco break at both the stair tower and then that the section mid-right. Next. So you can see what we changed is simplified that kind of horizontal material band of the building and then used the stucco variation behind the balconies consistently around the building.
David, would you toggle back one more time?
That in our last meeting, we talked about we would love to see an all brick building, but we were having a hard time building an all brick building and working with the budget and adding the canopy. So what we wanted to do is the really simple delineation of where the stucco went, and it felt more appropriate that in every case our inset balconies on the corner were carved in and we had a different material change, so that in this application it made sense that in the body of the building, as we carved this vertical slot at only the balcony conditions to highlight those units, that we could use then the brick to infill the rest of the body. So in the window applications where it's punched, it's always brick, and then the balcony conditions are always stucco. And we simplified the roof line and connected it all the way across this end of the building so that, as we had talked about, the only two parapet conditions that break this roof line are Moody and Bond entrances. This was the former view of the connection of Lane. You can see that there were oversized pad conditions where we had to offset the pathway to get to Lane around the vaults. And then you can see that the extra, there's a path along the building that gets to Bond, but you can see we still had a connection directly from the stairway. The new view is that we've eliminated the connection from the stair so that only the four stoops have direct connectivity to Lane. And then you can see the enhanced landscaping there between the stoops. Southwest corner of Moody, really the only significant change here was some minor things that Hillary mentioned about light locations and things in the stoops, but it was really about the canopy at Moody. You can see here that it's hard to see, so blow up the, go to the next blow up in large view. Stoop condition, some of the lights, but you can see next view that we're showing a dark bronze storefront window around the perimeter of the base. Next. You can see the former view of the canopy where we were trying to engage this Corten steel concept, and we've changed that then to both entrances being back to the steel frame, brackets back to our cast stone band, and then a glass top, very similar to both conditions. Abernethy is the vertical break we talked about against the parking, and I know we had a discussion about the hierarchy. Go to the next slide. So I really wanted to keep that vertical slot. I think it was consistent with the entries on Moody and Bond as well. So to downplay that, we eliminated the raised parapet and tried to make it secondary continuous roof line. And then you can see the same treatment of kind of the brick body. Bond, probably the biggest thing to address is that the body of the building is exactly the same, but it was the base that we talked about and the canopy conditions. You can see here we worked with Sarah and developed a canvas awning that they had used before that we thought was kind of appropriate for the area. Good. So the tube steel frame with the core tin still there now changed to these angled secondary canopies, and then again the steel glass top main entrance canopy.
Chip Impostato,
you're
studio
on.
Outside. Is it on? Okay.
Yeah.
AT4 Exposition, Suite Number 5, Dallas, Texas, 75226. We've updated the courtyard based on the conversations that we had at the last hearing. The big things that you're going to see between the two is kind of the layout of the spaces and less angular and more uniform spaces. We have kept our water feature. We've also gotten rid of that pinch point that was at the gate that we talked about a lot last time. So you can see here in the updated courtyard, what we've done is we've pulled the water feature further back into the body of the courtyard. So now it actually engages two of the spaces. But the biggest move probably was taking the three area rooms, outdoor rooms, and changing them into squarish rectilinear rooms. So the severity of the angles are now gone. The pinch point that was at the gate is gone. So when you go through the gate, it's just a large opening space. We've also removed the planter that was in front of the bike racks. We did retain the one that was on the kind of the top side of that entry, so that the fence and the gate had a place to land and not just kind of land in space. All of the other elements have stayed the same. The fire pit is there. The furniture layout got a little more simplified. And you know, the main access through the space is still kind of this crossing angular walk. So this is the former entry view, and this is the current entry view. The former bird's eye, and the current.
All right, so back to our night shot, and we appreciate your comments through the process. Look forward to what you have to say today. I hopefully approve.
Okay. So, questions of the applicant? You have one, David? Either David? I have one if you don't.
Yeah, I just, now that we're kind of in the detail phase, I have a couple questions related to the stucco. And one is just, it is a three-part stucco system. Is that what you described last time, or is it a different kind of stucco? Is it an EIFS kind of?
No.
All right.
It's on, nope. So it is a traditional stucco on metal lath.
Okay. Realizing that, I didn't see a kind of identification of expansion joints and where those are and what frequency. And
they were at the floor lines and then, I believe, vertically at the windows.
Okay, because it doesn't come across. The elevations are so small, I can't see that. And then the renderings don't really identify it either. So that might be something to work out. I think, what's page? For example, on just A6.4, I can see the horizontal ones, but then I'm just curious about the spacing, what your square footage maximum is for stucco in this application with a frame building. And so that would be maybe, I'm not sure, that's just something we need to discuss, how to resolve that, if that's something that could be done at the staff level, or if we could just give you some guidance and go that way with it. And then I know this is picky, but I mean, stucco and its variations through time have been problematic on buildings, and so I just want to look at stucco detail AD 1.4, and it's just kind of a funny little thing I haven't seen quite before. And your numbering system is a little odd too, but and it really has to do with the stucco at the roof edge and the transition between fascia board and stucco and a caulk joint and flashing, etc. It was just something that looked a little.
Number four.
Number four, AD 1.4. Yeah. So just in the sense of longevity of that detail, depending on, you know, sealant to what is it doing, those kinds of things. So I was just curious about that. Because, for obvious reasons, I guess, you know, if it's something that over time is going to be an issue. It reminds me of a detail that I worked for an architect actually in Austin, Texas, and they built a stucco, a couple of duplexes, and they had that similar detail. And this probably has a rain screen behind it, but they were, that became very problematic going back and redoing that whole detail on three duplexes.
I think that, so. Yeah, it's connected to a J mold, which is the, you know, primary edge to the fascia board, and then it is on a rain screen.
Is that
capillary access?
Is that represented in this detail or no? I guess another. I mean, like I said, we are at the detail phase, and I just wanted to have a couple like that. But,
and I think we've talked to R&H about how they would like to build, you know, a large stucco wall, and we don't have very many vertical elements.
Right. Well, you've got overhangs on a lot of it, which is excellent. So it's going to protect most of it. But I guess that would occur at some instances at the where you've got your breaks over your entrances and things like that, right? So.
And we'll have horizontal control joints at every floor line.
Right, right. A couple of things relative to the building elevation. I was wondering about on your floor plan on the east elevation, there's some lease spaces, but the doors are swinging in. And another one, there aren't any doors on it at all. So I think there are probably some... if that is a lease space, those doors are probably going to need to swing out, I would imagine. The north lease space that faces the courtyard entry, the doors on my plan anyway, A2.3, are swinging in. And on the club side, you've got an indentation, or it's set in past the property line, but the doors aren't on there, and I'm assuming that's a door, but maybe not.
Well, we couldn't swing the door into the right-of-way, so when it happened on Bond, what I did was create an alcove inset on the two corners so that at both the leasing condition and then at the retail condition on Abernethy, they both actually swing into the alcove. We also created a storefront bay that could accommodate changing out a window for a door in the plaza side if needed.
Well, the reason I point this one out on the leasing space on the north side of the courtyard is that if that is an independent lease space, technically your entry and exit would have to be out through the lobby because those doors won't work as an exit. So then you'd have to have a recess past, you know, 3 feet deep at the property line or so and then swing the doors out.
I haven't laid this space out, but obviously we will accommodate that.
That's okay. I mean, it's just
accessibility.
It's a code issue relative to the... Yeah, right.
I expected to see one actually coming into the plaza from the leasing as well. It
just, okay. And that would work, too, sure.
Dotted here.
Now that you don't have... Well, I think you've got some landscaping over there, but if it is behind the gate, that could work also. But I guess from a streetscape standpoint, pedestrian access going by, if those aren't perceived as entry doors, then it's a bit of an issue. But if you can handle exiting another way and still have those doors go in, then that probably would work. On A4.3, just the louvers that you've got on that elevation, they're so subtle, and I barely picked them up, but they're not really rendered as louvers, but I'm picking up that that's what they are on the large elevation number 3.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And so a little curious about those are just tried to be painted the same color as the brick. Is that
yes.
what your intent is?
We've worked with R&H to use a louver that they have installed before that's a single shape, and all the vents come in behind one louver.
Right. And I'm just kind of bringing these issues up. We can have more discussion about them if everyone feels it's necessary. But the overall, I noticed the lights that you have and the scale of them and the number of them on the building. Is there anywhere on your plan, I couldn't pick up where streetlights are located, where in the right-of-way, and how they might supplement and or maybe replace the number of light fixtures that you have through wall sconces?
I think the only sconces that we have consistently on the face is on Bond at the retail. The other location is on either side of the entry of Moody. But we've removed all the other sconces on the building facade except except for those two conditions. The we worked with Hillary and put those mainly as soffit mounted lights in the stoops and the canopies.
Okay, because it just on their on your cover sheet, I see those, but then they kind of go back up towards. I don't know if that's a hybrid old rendering or, yeah. or what, but it actually goes up on the north side of the building. It looks like too. So I guess what.
I'm sorry, it does turn the corner just far enough to get to the stair exit, and then the stair is also, we created an alcove for the stair to cover the door and set the back in.
And we have those also for
ceiling-mounted light.
For stoop lights at those units that enter off that north side? I would imagine you have something out there, right? Right. Okay.
The four conditions.
So my question is one of just understanding the scale of those and the type of light, and maybe I missed it in the packet where those light fixtures are.
We had sent Hillary a cut sheet.
Oh, they're in there. It's
yes.
in that now.
Yeah,
okay.
It was one of your older
packets. We didn't change that. Sorry.
One of my older packets.
Well, actually,
here I have one.
It was slipped in as like a single sheet in the last packet, and it would easily have been.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And
I almost overlooked it, but it was there.
Doubled with the ease of which I can overlook something.
I don't know how.
Yeah, it's not like we don't get a lot of it.
So it's 9 inches.
Commissioner Wark, do you mind if I jump in real quick?
Sure. No, go ahead.
I had a question about, so I guess thanks for listening to my comment about the scuppers. I was imagining they might get painted to match, so instead of removed. So since they're going away, where's the water going? How's that gonna?
There's still a drain there. It's just in the wall. So what's happening is we're simply daylighting it at the level of the planter below now.
Okay. All right. Great. Thanks.
That's the size of it.
I'm assuming the surrounds of the windows on the stucco portions, that's stucco as well?
It's a foam trim buildup around the stucco to create the same profile as the brick depth. So we talked about that one last time, as did it only happen on the top floor everywhere? It happens everywhere.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Chip, one question. The fire pit, I think in the first iterations, was kind of a gathering point, but it doesn't seem like it's a gathering point anymore. Is that, it seems like just you kind of walk around it in the circulation path? Is that?
The intention is that it could be a gathering point. The furniture that's programmed for developments like this is pretty loose and tends to get moved anyway. For the rendering purposes, we kind of pull it to the sides, like, you know, just tidying up the space, but the chairs would be fairly lightweight, and if you wanted to move around it, you could. It just seemed like if we put furniture around it in the image, it would kind of pinch that walk-up, the diagonal walk-up.
But all the furniture you're saying is movable furniture in the courtyard?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the wood and the insets and the balconies, as opposed to the hardy, what was your thinking there?
I know we really debated this. I know we talked about it, and I just, the texture of the stucco was the bigger concern for me last time, and that really was the fallback. I felt like the hardy, that as a panel system, we've taken it off everywhere on the building, and that if we could use real wood, like Ardea, I believe, there was something in the area that we could say was, you know, contextual, and that the quality of that material then was really still what I wanted to accomplish. So then it was about color and not making it too red or orange to stand out. It wasn't block 49 as an accent piece, so we were proposing that it go to this real wood, tongue and groove wood.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I had a question about just the maybe the logic and thought process of the kind of concluding that the canvas canopies were the best alternative.
Well, I think the scale of the steel frame was better to the window. So there was discussion last time about whether the canopy was at the top of the window below the metal panel or at the very top of the metal panel. And I felt like we had seen this we've seen the steel canopy condition too, but when we left the steel canopy at all conditions, I didn't think there was enough hierarchy of that main entry canopy. And I looked at making that much larger, but the scale of that opening then seemed to not be appropriate. So we wanted to back down what was consistent with something in the area that we thought from a scale standpoint, and we could address through the sloped canopy now this idea that the frame interacted at the top of the storefront and that the back of the canvas or the awning was at the top. So we could fill the whole space, I think, more logically with how it was installed. We talked about just a metal panel versus the canvas what that meant. And it was just that this example we saw was very dark, looked like metal. Conceptually, it could have been either material, but it looked very good in Sarah's installation of it. So could have gone either way at one point, but we matched it.
You asked that question.
Okay. Other questions?
I've got.
And just so you're aware, we have a representative from REBA here if you would like to pose questions of her. Any other questions? Okay. And provided that there are no people to testify either in favor or in opposition to the proposal, if there are, you can fill out one of these yellow forms, take them to Paige, she'll give them to me, and I will call you up. I don't see a clamor for the microphone. So and provided there are no further questions from you guys, I can close the record.
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to close public testimony and move to commission comments. And is there someone who's...
Any discussion points?
Well, yeah, we could certainly do some discussion. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I brought up a lot of little details, but I don't know if anyone... Or even I feel that they warrant much discussion.
Yeah.
Relative to maybe staff review or just verification of details, maybe.
Okay. All right. Tim, do I have to open the record to continue the conversation? Okay, great. Okay. Yeah. Good details. And I've made a note of them. Okay. First of all, the stucco detail at the roof line. I mean, is one consideration is wind-driven rain. Wind-driven rain. I mean, is that... I mean, I know there's overhangs protecting the stucco in a lot of places, but...
Right. So I'm not concerned with that. It's mainly at the... one detail that has caulk and a trim piece, and it's just, you know, I'm just... And if you've got it figured out, I just hadn't seen it quite that... What, to me, seems vulnerable, but maybe it's fine. I think the one for me that is the biggest change is the canvas awnings versus metal. And so I don't know if...
What's your concern on that? Just long-term maintenance?
Well, I think we need, you know, one of the design guys... Yeah, long-term maintenance, design for permanence. You know, the going from something that was of such high quality to something is kind of mediocre. I wouldn't call it a real long-term solution in and of itself. Of course, the framing would be, but the maintenance of it, I would assume, would be kept up. It's up in your best interest to keep it looking good. But I didn't know if anyone else kind of to bring it up for discussion.
The walkthrough that I went through when I saw, and I noticed the canopies as well, that I went through was, well, we got rid of the Hardy. Mm-hmm. And there were some trade-offs probably made on the budget. And it seemed to me that a canvas awning was relatively easy to replace when it wears out and is a relatively minor... A subtraction from a building, whereas a poorly performing Hardy panel is a much bigger, you know. And I realize it's not exact trade. But
right. Well, and I know I would assume that this group wouldn't do it, but I've seen awnings around town that you just don't want to walk on the edge of because of what's dripping off of them. And
right.
So, I mean, real, literally. And one's a ladies' hair salon in my neighborhood, and I just wonder how they get out of there in the wintertime when it's raining without, you know, additives to their hair.
I really actually like the awnings because they now kind of bow. They're
sure.
subservient to the main entry,
right.
which wasn't
right.
there before.
Right.
Nice scale.
Yeah, I agree. The form's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the material, and if we're all okay with it, that's fine. But I guess over time, is there an agreement, since it isn't technically in the right-of-way, of owner having to take care of something like that? Is there anything, any mechanism that... I refer back to my neighbor. you know
Tim
what I mean?
Aaron, BDS. Sure. No. Can you expand?
So is there, say, you know, in 30 years that this awning hasn't been replaced, you know, and it's shredded and it's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. New owners, not you.
Yeah.
New owners, you know.
You mean kind of like the lawn that doesn't get cut and six feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except it's in the right-of-way.
We work very closely on that kind of stuff, and I wouldn't worry about that. Where I was, not to read into you a little bit, but we've been here long enough in many years. Is it about canvas itself? Is it glass? Are we talking about a more hard and permanent material? And where I'm headed with that question is if over time, let's say 10 years from now, the ownership of the building decides, I'm getting tired. These canvas awnings are really taking a beating for whatever mm-hmm. reason and wants to go to a different system.
Yeah.
It's a pretty straightforward review process.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do those kinds of reviews, we try to go at very least the equal bar or higher.
Sure.
And certainly another type of system. There's lots of systems that could be approvable.
Right. And for me, it was just the difference between a more permanent type of application, material, metal or something, versus canvas. And so, and is it really canvas or is it some other like material?
I believe it's shown as canvas, but we had this discussion, what's the most common application in Portland, and have you seen it actually put a metal cap over it like a standing seam roof? And our discussion was that it's usually canvas or vinyl, and that they haven't done one with metal. But the frame accommodates pretty much anything. That's what I liked about this system. Just a series
I think
of
the form and your
form's right.
substructure and
yeah.
and the form of it, and as Tad mentioned, how there's a hierarchy to it. It all works well, but so doesn't seem like we have a problem with it.
Are there other issues or things that might become conditions people want to discuss?
If everyone's comfortable with the light fixtures. I, for me, when I was looking at it, the scale of them seemed really, really small relative to the, you know, story and a half high, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of them, and the kind of light that's coming out, it's nice, but I just wonder sometimes if wall sconces are just kind of gratuitous in a lot of ways and really aren't necessary, depending on where the street lights are. So I would maybe offer up the flexibility to remove them if you felt you didn't need them, depending on the light, where the pole lights are on the street, you know.
There are existing lights. I know there's one just on the other side of the streetcar stop, mm-hmm. but I didn't see anything near this end of the project. I did feel like it could be a smaller, softer fixture because you're going to get, you know, a little bit of glow from the interior since that whole street facade is glass. But we did talk about eliminating all of them on Moody except for at the primary entrance, mm-hmm. so it was kind of a trade-off.
So what do you think about the scale of them, particularly if you're talking about at the entrance of Moody, which you've got, you know, you made this four-story, five-story gesture.
In the rendering, it did look small. The original fixture we had picked was very vertical, but I thought it was too big.
Mm.
But I think applied in a vertical condition, it would probably be better than this horizontal box that we picked. So we could look at an alternate in two or three fixtures and work through that.
Can we condition that?
What's that?
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
Or friendly amendment?
I'm not proposing to condition it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just having a conversation
right
now.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what we're...
I don't mind working through those details with staff. I'm just to be open.
I think it's definitely, you know, maybe
minor.
Not a condition per se, but just work with staff to kind of, and staff be flexible with them. Maybe, I don't know, in terms of just
okay
working, work it out.
I'm hearing very helpful comments that are friendly amendments that are within the bounds of what you have in front of you to approve. And obviously we could work together. And if there's anything that falls outside the boundaries, we know we're coming back for a type 2 review for rooftop. Yeah. By the time we get the lights, canopies, and so on, there'll be plenty of time to maybe go over those issues if we had to in that review.
Sounds good.
Actually, Wade John, let me clarify on the dog run. We're now working with DES on how that works. It's far more complicated than what we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. Talking about, you know, roofs and covering the dog run, things that make it affect the aesthetics of the building and whatnot. We don't know if we're going to come to a conclusion that works for us to see the top 2 review to include the dog run.
Sure.
Right. So right now, we want to commit to doing that unless it works out.
Right, yeah, sure.
But that's not be a condition.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
Thank you.
In that realm, I just want to point something out, and I don't think it's a condition. It's really just a friendly comment, and it may be personally driven. When you look at the trim around the windows on A42, A43, and A44, where there's only 2 of those windows, it reminds me of a very suburban treatment that we saw a lot of in the 80s. and it's interesting because it feels that way on floors 2 through 5, but not on the top floor.
Because the top floor engages this horizontal band.
But. Right. And if you look at page A43, because of its proximity to that other vertical window, it doesn't have that same feeling. And then certainly on A44. So it's only those pairs.
That's interesting.
I don't have a solution. I don't have a suggestion. It just is a gut. It just.
Are you talking about the pairs and then the singles beside it on A4.4?
4.2.
I'm saying 4 and 3 are fine. It's when it's just the 2 windows on A42, and they're just separated. Just it's, you know what that look is? Remember that?
Oh, I never did that.
Yeah.
Fortunately.
Yeah. But
I do remember, yes.
It's, and I can't remember whether it was a stucco trim on stuff or whether it was actually the frame, the kind of wood frame around, detail around the window that was used. It's just for me feels very suburban.
Booty right there.
And as I say, it doesn't feel that way in the others. It's just a comment.
Well, then this detail right here.
You got a better idea. Great as is. Okay.
I don't. Consistently, we wanted a oversized trim to get a shadow line,
and
that's the only casualty, I guess. Yeah. I didn't get it.
Okay, that's.
But I completely understand your comment. The single in the other image, because it's variation of windows, does change it.
Yeah, it's something about the scale of that trim when it's just 2 windows just seems very prominent. But anyway,
the 80s are back. The 80s are back, by the way.
The 80s are back. Yeah, right.
Well, I thought you were referring to also 4.4, where there's 2 single windows that flank a slider, and there's that little slot between the trims, which is very awkward and probably difficult to execute.
Yeah, to get in there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that'd be better as just kind of continuous.
A
plane that's out. Yeah, just do it like the top one.
Okay.
And I don't know.
Yeah. I think the top one works better. It's got that added light, though, on top, so the scale shifts, but I don't know.
But it does still read as tied together, the multi-window.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a tough detail.
It's more about the window rather than the space between, kind of.
Yeah.
That's again, are we friendly amendment?
Just a comment. A thing.
A thing. All right. Okay. I think we're there.
We're almost to rearranging deck chairs here. Are we good? Okay, great. Let's go. Let's do a round of final comments if we choose to. Anyone want to go first? Anyone?
I don't know. I think we all maybe should just appreciation of your efforts here. I know that it was a long haul, and you've been here several times, and a new state, a new culture, a new way of doing things. I lived in Texas for 14 years, so I know the Wild West. It was in Houston when it was at its wildest, so including no zoning, et cetera. So I'm sure this is a cultural shift for you all, for y'all. But I think it's come a long way. It's going to be a solid building. And so, again, appreciate your really listening to us and making us feel like we're heard. And I think to the benefit of your project, too. So thank you.
Thank you.
I want to echo the same comment. Everything that I've really commented on in this design has been dealt with and listened to. And I especially appreciate the interior courtyard. I know that we really hammered on that a lot, or I personally did. But I think what resulted is a more usable space, and one where the water feature actually becomes the focal point and the nice thing that's going on, as opposed to competing with everything else. And it's a really nice gesture. We don't see a lot of water features in apartment complex. And this, so it's really a wonderful amenity, and now it's very proud. And I like that. And I think the way the rooms are set up in the courtyard itself, mm-hmm. are now much more usable and sociable. So I feel it's a great improvement. I hope you feel that the design has improved as well. So thank you very much.
Yeah, and I agree completely with what you just said about the courtyard.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ditto that. Yeah, great job. Congratulations. That was the first thing I noticed in the package.
Yeah.
Monumental resolution of that
space,
what it
wanted to
be. Great.
I was just going to say one thing.
Yeah.
I also echo on the courtyard, and I think what's nice about it is it retains its spirit, but it somehow works much better with the architecture surrounding it. So I think that was a success. I also want to thank you guys for working with the Riva, and thank you to the Riva for working with you guys. I think that's also a great improvement, mm-hmm. for the city, and I appreciate that you guys all got over that hurdle together. I'm sure it was kind of a big one. And also, like David said, thank you for listening to us through this process. I think you guys have integrated everything we've spoken about in a really great manner, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'd close by saying, I mean, not only have you responded to comments, but I'll take the Scuppers as an example. You kind of took it a step further than I was expecting. I mean, I was expecting a paint to match, and they got buried, and... Fantastic. So I really appreciate the level at which you responded to our comments and how much you took them to heart. So I hope that the process has felt, well, I'm sure it's been long and hard. I hope at least it's felt like it's brought something of benefit to your project. And I think we're ready to vote on a staff report.
Commissioner, real quick.
Yes.
For Alan Manhattan, I want to say thank you to all of you. The many hours you spent on this project, especially city staff and Hillary. Hillary is extraordinarily intelligent and thorough. You should be proud of her and the work she's done. Thank you. I also want to thank Riva and Cornerstone and Dana doing an extraordinary job in getting us across the goal line there.
Okay.
So, absolutely.
So thank you.
Well, thanks. Thanks all around. Paige, would you call roll, please?
We got a motion.
Oh, sorry. We need a motion. Details.
I move to approve the staff report as written with the aforementioned friendly discussion, amendments, et cetera. Do we have to identify those? Are you all right?
Okay. Unless you want to make them amendments, and it's just...
No, we don't.
Okay.
Okay,
Paige, please call roll.
Matt Souter.
Aye.
Jane Hansen.
Aye.
Jeff Simpson.
Aye.
Ben
Kaiser.
Aye.
David Keltner.
Aye.
David
Fork.
Aye.
Aye. Congratulations. The motion carries.
Thank you.
Good luck.